For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, tonight is davening with meaning number two, and the topic for tonight is going to be the opening of Shemona Esrei, the first bracha. But we're going to, as maybe is already my custom, Darki Bakadosh, we're going to take a circuitous route to get there at the very beginning. And we're going to start with a question that would fit well to be a question on the back end. In other words, as I mentioned, we hope to include questions that are not necessarily even related to the main topic of the evening, but might just be a general davening question. So here's a general davening question that will lead us to the discussion of the first bracha of Shemona Esrei. And that question is, why do some brachas have the words Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Blessed are you Hashem, our God, King of the World, and some brachas don't contain the phrase Elokeinu Melech HaOlam? They don't contain the phrase our God, King of the World. For example, in a regular bracha on food, of course we have that phrase, but in a bracha like the bracha immediately before the Shema, ends, Baruch Ata Hashem, Ohev Amo Yisrael. Blessed are you Hashem, who loves the Jewish people, loves his nation Israel. Another bracha like that might be the bracha, the second and third brachas of benching, that have Baruch Ata Hashem, Bonei Baracham of Yerushalayim Amen. You know, blessed are you Hashem, who is the builder of Jerusalem in his compassion. They do not contain the phrase Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Now this is particularly troubling because the Talmud says in Brachos in the end of the first chapter that any bracha that does not contain the phrase Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, what the Talmud calls Shem Umalchus. Shem means God's name. Malchus means the description of his kingship. So anything that doesn't contain Shem and Malchus ain't no bracha. It's not a bracha. It's ain't a bracha. Sorry for the grammatical error before. It's not a bracha. If it doesn't contain Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, it isn't a bracha. So how could that be? How could that be that there are brachas that don't contain the phrase our God, King of the World? And what is it that leads to this? Mm-hmm. So on this, the explanation is as follows. Wherever a bracha stands alone, it is not part of a series, it's a single statement, then it will always contain Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, our God, King of the World. However, where there are series of brachos that were established by the sages as a series, it will suffice to have it in the first phrase, but it does not exist in the subsequent ones. So for example, the example I gave before, the bracha that immediately precedes the Shema, Ohev Amo Yisrael, the bracha that preceded it began with the words, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher B'Divaro Ma'ariv Aravim. Blessed are you Hashem, our God, King of the World, who in his word brings nights and days. That's the bracha that precedes it. Because they are a series, the Mishnah records them as two in a row, then we rely upon the inclusion in the first of the series, and in subsequent ones in the series, no matter how long the series, it does not have to say Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Mm-hmm. Our God, King of the World, yes.
How about the 15 morning blessings?
Excellent question. I was hoping somebody might ask that question. So when we first start the davening in Shul, we start on page 18 of the Siddur, and we have many blessings in a row, and they all contain the phrase Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. It's a good topic for another time, the entire what's going on here in these brachas. But for now, we'll touch on, we talked about it last year. But for now, we'll leave it as this. These brachos are all recorded in the ninth chapter of the tractate brachos. And they're all described, and even in the time of the Rambam, they were still observed this way. They're all described as responses to morning experiences. You open your eyes, and you express, blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the world, who opens the eyes of the blind. You take steps and you express who prepares the steps of man. And one after the other. You put on your shoes, sha'asali kol tzarki, that God gave me everything I need. Because that's true, they were not established as a set. They were established as an individual response to an experience. They were later organized in a sitter into a set, but they're not really a set. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's an interesting point. That's why you're allowed to speak in between them, if you have to. Mm-hmm. Something comes up, you said, you can talk with them before Malbisha Ruvim. They're not part of a set. Whereas other places where you're in the middle of something, you can't talk. You're in the middle of Psukah Dezimra, you're in the middle of Hallel, you're in the middle of Shmona Esrei, you're in the middle of the blessings of the Shmona, you can't talk. Here you could talk. I don't recommend it. Okay, but you're allowed to talk. Something's happened, especially you're at home, whatever, you started saying the brachas, something comes up, okay, fine. Just remember where you were and go back. So they're not a series. That's the answer to your question.
Very interesting. I didn't know that. Huh? That's so helpful.
But by the way, now that you see Elokeinu Melech Olam in every phrase, you know they're not a series. Mm-hmm. That screams, we're not a series. Mm-hmm. We just happen to be written on the same page, but we're not a series. Okay, so Elokeinu Melech Olam is not required in the second of a series and through the end of that series. And so it is that you won't find it anywhere. There will be some exceptions, but anywhere where there's an exception, there's an explanation to the exception. It's not our time now to explain why in the fourth blessing of the benching there is a reappearance of Elokeinu Melech Olam, but in the second and third it doesn't. I'm not going to answer that question right now, just to give examples of that. Now, there is one long series of blessings that one has to ask this question about. What's the series of blessings that one would have a question on everything I said? Fran, you know what it is?
Shmona Esrei.
Shmona Esrei. Very good. I turn to Shmona Esrei. It says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, and the God of our forefathers. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. The God of Avram, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Hakel HaGadol HaGibor V'Hanora. The great, powerful, and awesome God. Kael Elyon. Elevated God. Gomel Chasarim Tovim V'Kone Hakol. He is the... does kindness, great kindnesses, and created everything. V'Zocher Chastei Avos. And he remembers all the kindness is done by the forefathers. Umevi goel ivnei v'nehem, and he brings a blessing. He brings a redeemer to their children, grandchildren. Laman shemo be'ava, for his name's purpose and in love. Or, that wasn't said well. For his name's sake, with love. Melech ozer u'moshiyom again. A king who is a helper, a savior, and a shield. Blessed are you, Hashem, the shield of Abraham. No phrase Melech Ha'olam. Mm-hmm. The phrase does not exist. Elokeinu we got. But Melech Ha'olam, he's the king of the world, is missing. At the very end you find the word Melech. Mm-hmm. But still Melech Ha'olam is missing. And this is a 19 bracha series. If you look in all the subsequent brachas, you won't find Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. By the way, I forgot to say this. Another indicator that you're in a series is that the second blessing and so on in the series don't begin with the word Baruch. They begin with some paragraph, you know, like Nodelecha in benching, or Rachem in benching, right? Or like Ahavas Olam or Ava Rabba in the blessings of the Shema. These are in the middle of a series. Here, similarly, Ata Gibor is the beginning of the second blessing, and if you go through this whole 19 blessings, one after the other, they don't begin with Baruch. So the first one begins with Baruch. And it should be a bracha, but it's missing it. Melech Ha'olam. We don't have the phrase Melech Ha'olam. So, Fran had the intent of Tosfos' question in brachas. Tosfos asked the same question. What about Shmona Esrei? And it says like this. Elokei Avraham, the God of Abraham, that is the phrase Melech Ha'olam. Mm-hmm. Avraham crowned Hashem over the whole world. By calling him the God of Abraham, What we're saying is he's the king of the world. That phrase equals that. Because Avram we know to be the great innovator of monotheism. What was he doing if not saying Melech HaOlam? In fact, this is just a Kabbalistic treat, this little piece I'm about to say. It requires a lot more explanation another time. Rosh Hashanah equals Avraham, Yom Kippur equals Yitzchak, and Sukkot equals Yaakov. Okay, what does that mean? That means that Avraham was the one who crowned the world with Hashem. That's the whole theme of Rosh Hashanah. The whole theme of Rosh Hashanah is Malchuyos, is the expressions of kingship. So if we said Elokei Avraham means Melech HaOlam, means king of the world, so then Elokei Avraham means Melech HaOlam, means Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur is the time that as a result of the fact that there is a king, you serve him with everything you got. And you repent and you give yourself over completely. The main form of repentance and giving yourself over completely is the awareness and the inspiration of offerings on the Mizbeach, Karbanos, what they call sacrifices. And there's no one who epitomizes that and typifies that like Yitzchak. Because he himself was the ultimate giver of his whole self to Hashem. And that's really what we're trying to do in Yom Kippur, and remove all the me and make us just self-servants of Hashem. And Yaakov, who brings it all together and his table is full and he lives a complete, robust life as a family man with children. And by the way, he built a city called Sukkos. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. He's represented by the Sukkah, mm-hmm, and the experience of the Sukkah. Okay. So that was just a parenthetical Kabbalistic treat. Okay, so now, Avram, well, the name Avraham means there's a creator. So it means there's a ruler. It means there's a king. Go ahead.
Excuse me. You're saying that we didn't need Melech HaOlam because it says Elokei Avraham, right?
Correct.
But why does it say Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov?
Oh, great question.
It seems like it's somehow superfluous.
It's a very important question. For this purpose, that's 100% right. For the purpose of expressing that he's the king of the world, we don't need Elokei Yitzchak and Elokei Yaakov.
Especially because it's Avram who, so to speak, created Elokei.
Absolutely. No, there's no question. You're right. There's no question. You're right. I forgot to bring a chumash. I can grab it from right here. Okay, now we're going to answer your question. In this week's Parsha Shemos, we're going to read this Shabbos of the encounter between Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem at the burning bush. Hashem is telling Moshe, go back to Egypt and tell them that the time has come for your redemption. And Moshe says, Hinei anochi ba'el b'nei Yisrael. Behold, I will come to the Jewish people, and I'll say to them, Elokei avoseichem shlachani aleichem. The God of your fathers sent me to you. Va'amru li, and they will say to me, Mashemo, what's his name? Ma omar aleichem. What should I tell them? Moshe says. And Hashem said to Moshe, Eya asher eya. Some pronounce that ekya asher ekya because it's an argument whether that's a name of God or it's just the phrase, I will be as I will be. Okay? And he says, go tell the children of Israel, Eya shlachani aleichem. Something called Eya, I shall be, has sent me to you. Now this, by the way, the Talmud says that, what is the phrase, I will be as I will be? Hashem is telling Moshe, go tell them that just as I'm with them in Egypt, I'll be with them in every other exile. That's what the I will be is. I'm here now and I'll be. To that, Moshe responds to Hashem and he says, Daya litzara b'shaita. It's enough for the one tsar, one difficulty in its time. What, you want me to talk to them about Babylonia and Greece and Rome? Let me just tell them here. One ayah is enough. So Hashem responds, Ko somar l'bnei Yisrael, so say to the Jews, ayah shalchani aleichem, I will be, has sent me to you. And then Moshe, Hashem speaks to Moshe further and says like this, Vayomer od Elokim el Moshe. So does God say to Moshe, but he's already answered the question essentially. Ko somar l'bnei Yisrael, so shall you say to the children of Israel,
Hashem Elokei Avoseichem. Hashem, the God of your forefathers. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. The God of Avraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Shlochani Aleichem, he sent me to you. Ze Shemi Leolam, this is my name forever. Ze Zichri Ledor Dor. And this is my remembrance, or my commemoration, my mention in every generation. Here, Ramban says the following amazing thing. He says, what does it mean? This is my commemoration, my remembrance from generation to generation. This is my commemoration in every generation. That means even our generation. This goes back on the words, God of Avraham, God of Yitzchak, and God of Yaakov. Ki le'olam lo yishkach bris avos. Because God will never forget the covenant he made with the forefathers. Uvechol hadoros, and in every generation, ka'asher yazkiru, when they will mention Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, that he's the God of Avraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, Yishma Kael v'Ya'anim. God will hear them, and he will answer them. This is the code. It's like, you know, you knock on the door where they move the, just move the is that, what's the word? Shutter?
Panel,
whatever, right? Like there's a speakeasy or something behind the door. You look in, and they say, yeah? And you say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And the door opens, and you walk right in. This is the code. This is the secret. And it's so fantastic, because it's not even like I'm telling you something that's so like far away from the meaning of it. This is exactly what it says. In this moment, when Moshe says, what's your name? God says, go tell them, I'm the Hashem, the God of their forefathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is how you mention me in every generation. This is Shemona Esrei 101, right here at the burning bush. Right there. It's not complicated. It's not like, you know, a big pilpul dick drusha or something. It is what it means. It's what it says. So he's right there giving you the code. Now, why is that the code? So why is that the code? That's the code because Hashem's never going to forget the covenant he made with the forefathers. The forefathers accomplished so much in giving over their whole lives to Hashem. Take Avraham alone. Avraham alone
was going to sacrifice his child.
But even before you get there, mm-hmm. even before you get there, the Rambam says in the first chapter of the laws of idol worship, Avraham had no Rebbe and he had no teacher. He had no one like him. Mm-hmm. Everybody, including his parents, were idol worshippers. And he recognized the Ribono Shel Olam and he served him, and he didn't just stay there, but he went from place to place and brought forth the word of God. The knowledge of God. And look at us, as in the world today, there are roughly, I think, roughly like 1.8 billion people who are part of any religion that is absolutely monotheistic in the sense of that they recognize the God of Abraham. Mm-hmm. Even if in some of them they have partners. Okay, but the point is, they recognize the God of Abraham. Accomplishment. I mean, what an unbelievable accomplishment, this Avraham Avinu. So that's Elokei Avraham. Now you go on to Yitzchak, that he withstood the temptation, which we're going to get to, okay, which is the most basic temptation of man. The most natural reality of man is to survive. But he was willing to give that up for Hashem, survival. And in that way he put into Klal Yisrael forever, that Yisrael was willing to give up their lives, that a life without Hashem is not a life worth living. And Yaakov, that put it all together and was able to fuse the kindness of Avraham with the justice of Yitzchak, with the impurities that represented by Yishmael and the impurities represented by Esav, but emerge here now with the whole family kosher, the whole family for the service of Hashem, and build Yisrael. What a code! I mean, what a code! You're walking in and you have the right to say. Like, imagine in our own lives, if we had a regular everyday life where somebody owed something to somebody, or somebody was in a covenantal relationship, and you say, reporting for duty, I'm his grandson. Like, here I am. I've just arrived, and here I am, and we're in a relationship. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying to you. Use this code and we're in a relationship. And I'm open. It's extremely powerful. By the way, as a side point regarding this, David HaMelech sensed this. King David sensed this when he saw that God was referred to as the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, and the God of Yaakov, but was not referred to as the God of David. And he asked Hashem, why is he not referred to as the God of David? And he said, the God of someone means that he has withstood temptation. He's overcome a test. Okay, he's been omid ben isayon. He's withstood a test. That's where David HaMelech, on his lofty level, made some measure of error, where he said, "Choneni Hashem v'noseni, God, out of your compassion for me, give me a test, so that I might realize that level." But based on the words of the sages, we have to understand exactly what the failure was. But he did not succeed in that test, and that test has to do with another man's wife. So now, but he didn't succeed. But here's the thing: you're not supposed to ask for tests.
Well, not only that, it seems to me that the mere fact that he asked why it didn't say Elokei David, it was enough reason that it shouldn't say Elokei David.
Fine. I hear that too.
Yeah.
I hear that too. Okay. So now, when you say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, you're opening the door, because these titans withstood tests. They overcame their temptations to be something else, and they established the Jewish people forever, and they established the messengers of God for all the generations. Now let's take a step back. The Talmud and Megillah describes, when we mentioned this last week, Talmud and Megillah describes what the sources of every one of the blessings, how they saw to organize the Shemona Esrei in this order. Now once you know what I just said, that Elokei Avraham means, that's Melech HaOlam, that's the king of the world, and this is the code, of course it has to open with this. It's just so obvious it has to open with these words. But the Talmud says that it opens here because part of the organization of the Shemona Esrei is corresponding to the paragraph in Tehillim called Mizmor LeDavid. Now Mizmor LeDavid is the paragraph that we sing when we return the Sefer Torah on Shabbos morning. It's chapter 29 of Tehillim. And it says like this, Mizmor LeDavid, a song to David, Havu Lashem B'nei Elim. Havu means ascribe or call out to Hashem. B'nei Elim means you sons of Elim. Now this is an important point, by the way. The word Elim, is a plural of El. El is not always a holy word. Sometimes it means God, like Hakel, Hakadol. Okay? But it also means anything powerful. It's a source of power. Okay? So when it says, you sons of the powerful ones, from here the Talmud says, that's why we begin with a blessing called Avos, called fathers. We evoke the merit of the forefathers because it's saying, call out to them, you sons of great ones. On account of the fact that you're sons of great ones, this is why you should be the ones who call out to God. This is why you should be in a relationship with Hashem. That's the opening. And then it goes into further phrases. Tonight we're not going to talk about about the next blessing, but the next blessing is based on the next phrase. Havu Lashem Kavod Va'oz. Call out to God, honor and strength. And then Kivod Shemo is the next one, which evokes the third bracha, Hakel HaKadosh, which talks about his name. Okay, that's not our topic for tonight. But this is the source. So what is this? What is going on here that we're supposed to, that it's this notion of the children of the great ones is the very first thing we're supposed to say. So we can explain this based on the writing of the Maharal. The Maharal writes as follows. Let me just find this. I lost my page. Maharal writes that Shabbos, this is in a book called Gevuras Hashem, in Simon Lamed Test 39. He says like this, Shabbos is the completion of creation, and the redemption from Egypt is the completion of the story of the world. Okay, now, story. Toldos HaOlam means, that's the wrong phrase. Not the story of the world, but I would call the birth story of the world. Tolda has to do with like Yeled, like the birth. He says, the world was completed in the 7 days. After that, there began a period called Toldos HaOlam, the further creation of the world situation, that the world started reaching towards its completion. And one after the other, nations emerged, mostly after the flood. And nations emerged, but Yisrael was the last nation to emerge. It took them until coming out of the land of Egypt. When they went into the land of Egypt, there were already nations, Kenani, Amori, whatever it was. But there was not, there was Mitzrayim, for example, right? That's of course. But there was not Yisrael. There was just 70 people. They came out of the land of Egypt, and that was the final creation of a nation. And so the creation of, just as Shabbos is the end of the creation of creation, so too is Israel, the Jewish people, the end of the creation of the world, as it were, in terms of the story of the world, the things that fill the world, the things that animate the world. World history is now ready to unfold because the creation of the players in world history has now ended. And that's analogous one to the other. Shabbos is that great moment, and Yisrael is that great moment. Our bracha here of Avos really goes from the beginning of time until the end of time. It's just fantastic. I mean, you got to imagine they make up a bracha that's supposed to be applicable to the greatest scholar and the unlettered in every generation, and it's unbelievable. So what does it mean? First of all, let's go word by word. Okay, baruch. It's a very hard word to translate, actually, even in English. If I would say to you, what does the verb to bless mean? A father blesses his children. A mother blesses her children. You go to a Rebbe for a blessing. What does that mean? Anybody want to answer that? What does it mean when you go to them for a blessing? Go ahead, Ari.
They're going to pray for you.
They're going to pray for you. Okay.
In an action sense, it's like, You're asking for some, well, I don't know if you're asking, but in some sense it's like kind of like increasing the flow, increasing something. I imagine like drawing water from a well, so there's this like source and you're getting that flow towards you, and it's so something's increasing. I don't know what specifically, but that's the nature of the bracha.
So you're the object upon whom it is increasing?
It depends on if you're asking for yourself. But if like,
okay, but whatever.
But it could be
the ill person, the you, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Right? The child.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. What you said, by the way, is extremely deep. And really, I don't know if you even said it on purpose. We'll come back to it. That's some of the maybe you did. You probably did. But the analogy you gave is fantastic.
Well, it's a classic analogy, right?
Okay, tell me more about that.
I don't know. I just think of a lot of the sources talk about bracha. There's like the source, which is Hashem, and somehow you're drawing. And of course, water is also like Torah, so there's all these beautiful metaphors of water. The water has to flow in a direction. And also, if you want to increase upon you in that direction, and that's what sustains life, bring life, creates more. And so, but there's something specific that has to be channeled. So that's the water in the case of the bracha. I don't know exactly how that works. But there's a riverbed, and you want that to be big and wide and good, and then also you want, I guess, a good vessel for it to go into, but then maybe continue on beyond that.
Very good. Exceptionally great. Exceptionally great. And what you said really is described by the Sefer HaChinuch, because the Sefer HaChinuch is bothered by a question. Okay? There's a mitzvah in the Torah to bless God. Right? V'achalta v'savata uberachta. You should eat and feel satisfied and bless God. But the thing is that when you ask your parents to give you a blessing, or when a parent gives a blessing, the object of the blessing, you're blessing X, is the object of the blessing to which blessing should flow, as you described. Can that possibly be what it means to bless God? If I say, and Yaakov blessed the children, or he blessed Yosef, and therefore he spoke to his grandchildren. And Yaakov blessed the tribes. Vezos habracha asher beirach Moshe. Moshe blessed the tribes. Yitzchak blessed Yaakov, and Esau was upset he didn't get the blessing. That means he's the object. Now Torah is going to come and tell me the achalta v'savata v'irachta, you should go and you should bless God. Like, what do you do? Increase his situation? You're going to make it better for Hashem? It's impossible, right? We all know that. It's axiomatic. It's completely impossible. So what can it possibly mean? There is no metaphor other than the metaphor you said. Okay, why? How do you say a catch-all word for stream that today, in modern Hebrew, is the Hebrew word for a swimming pool? Brecha. Right. It's the same word. Exactly. Brecha is spelled bet resh chaf hey. Take away the dots, it just says bracha. Different dots, it says bracha. That's exactly what it is. In other words, Ari's metaphor is not just a good metaphor. It's the essential meaning of the word. It's not a metaphor. It's telling me the story. It's not a metaphor, and now let me borrow the metaphor and bring it over here. It is it. Brecha is bracha. And so when you say, every time you say the word baruch to Hashem, you're not saying you shall be blessed, like you're saying to your child. You're saying you are the source. You are blessed. Now, not you are blessed. Really, you are the source. Mm-hmm. What you're saying to the kid is, let me draw forth from the source. Mm-hmm. But what you're identifying is that he is the source. Every time you say Baruch. Mm-hmm. It'll probably take us 15 minutes to say Baruch the next time. Right? And it's big. It's huge. Right? Think of the ocean from which everything flows into all those rivers, into all those tributaries. That's the source. Good question. I never thought about that. Excellent question. Right? The word for knees is birkayim. And tishav akol berech. Okay? That every knee should swear itself towards you. So the only thing that I assume for the moment, I never thought about it, is that a knee's function is that it identifies the source. Is that it's functioning at its highest level when it bends itself and shows its humility. Right? Its role, essential role, is to identify the source. I think maybe that's the answer, or maybe it is the source of movement.
Well, maybe because when we
right, that's what I'm saying, exactly. But that means that its function is to identify the source. It's the right. Physical right. Expression of identifying the source. Interesting question. Wow, this is fantastic. We only got to the first word. The first word. Okay, I'm going to leave the profundity of Atta for another time. Because, no, they're really, as some of you know, there's unbelievable profundity in the unbelievable reality of the merit of the zchus of the privilege to call Hashem you. Okay, which if you speak Spanish, you would never call somebody respect in the you form. You use the usted form, and that's common in many languages. That and it's perfectly common in the world of the Torah scholars. They never call each other you. They say, you know, the Rosh Hashiva, etc. But that's for another time. Now, getting into the name of Hashem is for another time also. Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu we've already described. That you're the God and the God of our forefathers. We described Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, and Elokei Yaakov. We've unlocked the code. But we've also described now that from the very beginning of time, the purpose of Yisrael is to fulfill that incredible vocation and station called the people who reveal God in this world. That's what it means to be a Jew. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov is what it means to be us. The several writers write about the idea that the first bracha is equal to the book of Bereshis. It describes creation. The second bracha is equal, corresponds to the book of Shemos, which describes God's, how he runs the world through his taking Klal Yisrael out of Egypt. And the third bracha is corresponding to Vayikra in its loftiness, in its separateness, in this, of all the books of the Torah, the one that is just completely mystical is the element of the Karbonos. And so it is a God's name being separate and Nora, awesome. In that same way, these next three words also say that. Hagadol, Hagibor, and Hanora correspond to the first, second, and third blessing of the Shemoneh Esrei and Bereishis Shmos and Vayikra. Hagadol, he's the great one. He's bigger than it all. You know that Hashem is referred to sometimes as Hamakom, as the place. Why is Hashem referred to as the place? Because the place is the thing in which other things fit. Right? Something is in a place. Now, Hashem, is Hashem in the world, or is the world in Hashem? It would be limiting to say that Hashem is in the world and then exceeded by the world space itself. That is heretical to make such a claim that Hashem is contained within a world that is larger than he. So Hashem is the place.
Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu.
Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Very good. We say that in the Haggadah. Or, as we say when we greet a mourner, HaMakom Yenachem Eschem. May the place.
It's very coveted.
It's awesome. It's the greatest possible description of the size, as it were, of Hashem. Beyond description. The world's not within him. He's not within the world. The world's within him. He's the place. And that's what the Talmud describes as Mikomo Shel Olam. The place that is of the world. Now that said, Gadol is another expression of that same notion. Mm-hmm. Ribbono Shel Olam is Gadol. He's big. Now here you can't pass these three words without saying that the Talmud says in Brachos that if not for Moshe Rabbeinu having said these words to God, in the Chumash, in the book of Devarim, and had the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, the men of the Great Assembly, not themselves placed it into the prayer book, we wouldn't be able to say them. Because you're going to describe God as Gadol, Gibor, and Nora, great, strong, and awesome? Where's the rest of the description? Like, you're going to limit it to that? And so the Talmud tells a story of somebody who called God like 10 more descriptions. And when he finished, his master said to him, have you finished all of the praises of God? Even though he had said 12 words or whatever it was. He says, you haven't finished praises of God. So you wouldn't even have the ability to open up and say it like this. And then the Talmud has a beautiful analogy. It says, it's like somebody who has all the gold and you praise him with silver. Like your feeble descriptions. So, but yet, Moshe did use these phrases. And the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, the men of the Great Assembly, did put them here. And so they describe him as Gadol, which means creator. Bigger. The one who made the world. Gibor, powerful, is a description of how he operates within his world. Okay? And that is, again, comparable to the book of Shemos, where we describe how God runs his world in the plagues and in taking Yisrael out, etc. It's not creative anymore. It's now running it. And Nora is beyond our comprehension. That's Nora. Kael Elyon Gomel Chasodim Tovim V'Kone Hakol. Well, this phrase, Kael Elyon and Kone Hakol, they were used by Avraham. When Avraham has his interaction with Malki Tzedek after the events of the wars, Malki Tzedek uses this phrase, but he got them from Avraham, that God is a Kael Elyon, beyond us, and Kone Hakol means that he's the creator of everything. Kone, we all know, means to acquire something, to buy something. But Rashi says in Chumash, where the phrase Kone Hakol appears the first time, Rashi says, he's the acquirer of everything by virtue of the fact that he's the creator of everything. It means he owns everything. It's all his doing. And as we said last week, words that you should never forget, Modim anachnu lach al she'anachnu modim lach. We thank you for being able to thank you even. Right? I described to somebody today, I've always thought of it as every person is a basket of blessings. Like, what are you going to brag about? You're going to brag about the fact that you're tall or short, or the fact that you're, beautiful or whatever, you have a beautiful singing voice, or that you had a great education, or whatever. You made good decisions. That's all that comes from Hashem's giving you opportunities, everything. So there's nothing to brag about. The thing is that when you really get it, you realize that even the basket is a gift. It's not just that you're there's the gifts that are in the basket. The basket itself is a gift. So Ribono Shalom is the Kohen HaGadol. I made it all. But the thing is, this phrase Gomel Chasadim Tovim does not appear in the Chumash. And so, but it expresses already an answer to a very difficult question, which is, why did Hashem create it all? We're describing Him as the creator of it all. But there can never really be a full answer to this question that man can comprehend. The best we can do is use the words of the Tanakh, Olam Chesed Yibone. God created a world of Chesed. Meaning, the only thing we can ever come to is that God created the world to do good for us. As Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto describes, that if He would just give you the pleasure of knowing Him without you earning it, so it would be nama de kisufa, it would be bread of embarrassment. It's more delicious to eat that which you earned yourself. So you come to this world and you pass tests and you grow and you accomplish and you build His name and as the words of Rav Hirsch, you voluntarily crown Hashem, not by force of being a lion who just does what he's supposed to do or the wind that just does what he's supposed to do, but voluntarily you crown Hashem, you achieve. And what's the purpose? For your benefit. Because there can be no other explanation. Let's be clear about this. There can be no other explanation of why Hashem would create the world. The motivation of every single person is to fill some lack. Whatever the lack is. It could be a lack of, you know, using his time. Whatever it is. You derive pleasure and you derive will and desire from filling something that's currently missing. Again, that's heresy. If we're describing Hashem, there's nothing can be currently missing. So what would motivate someone that has nothing missing? Whatever you'll say, even, I've always wondered, can man ever describe a single act as altruistic? You know, truly altruistic. I don't know. You see where I'm coming from? Like, how can he describe it as altruistic? Because even when he's being altruistic, he has the pleasure of the altruism. Right? So, or the pleasure of the meaning of it, whatever it may be. Ramosham is not getting better. He's not being more. So Olam Chesed Yibana. And even that we don't understand. He wants to make a world of chesed, of kindness. Why does he want to? But that's it. So when we're describing him as this creator, Gomel Chasadim Tovim. He is the one who gives over great kindnesses. Remember, this all falls in the category of a sense of Shevach. You're opening with words of praise. So you're describing before you're asking him for anything, his capabilities, his reality. Actually, the second bracha is about capabilities. This is more about reality. That he's the creator, he's big. We could almost say Gadol Gibor Anora, big, strong, and awesome, they are like a table of contents. They're bracha number one, bracha number two, and bracha number three. But now we go back to bracha number one. That he's the one who's the creator. And in his creation, he does kindness to us. V'zocher chasdei avos. And he remembers the kindnesses and the achievements of the forefathers for our benefit. Now, what's our benefit? And what's our purpose? Let's go back to the purpose of the world again. So we said that God made a world and he's doing chesed with us. But Nachmanides says, Ramban says, in a must-read at the end of Parshas Bo, the Ramban says the following idea. I strongly recommend this. I'm not just saying this. Really, take out a Ramban. It's made in English, like in this book, and read the last Ramban in the Parsha called Bo.
What book is this?
This is Art School Ramban. Okay? So this is what he says here. He says like this, Ulefichach Amru, and therefore they said, I'm skipping a very large thing about mitzvos that have to do with redemption from Egypt. Have a zar b'mitzvah kala k'mitzvah chamura. The sages said in Avos, be careful with a, quote, light mitzvah, like a heavy mitzvah, like a minor to a major. Shakulan chamuros v'chavivos mo'or. All mitzvahs are very chamur. They're heavy, they're real, they're significant. And beloved. Shebechol shah adam mode bohen leilokav. Every time a person does a mitzvah, a person is mode leilokav. That does not mean thank. You understand? That does not mean thank. He's not thanking God. He's acknowledging and being aware of Hashem at that moment. Kol ha-mitzvot shenam in ve'elokeinu v'node elov. Oh, excuse me. V'chavonos kol ha-mitzvot. And the intent of all the mitzvot shenam in ve'elokeinu that will believe in our God v'node elov shehu bra'anu and will thank Him or will acknowledge, actually, because it's followed by sheh. We will acknowledge Him that He created us. The He kavanas hayetzira, and this is the objective of creation. She'ein lanu tam acher biyetzira harishona. We have no other objective that we can explain creation at all. Ve'ein lo elyon v'tachtonim chifetz, and why would the upper one have any desire with the lower ones? Milvan ze sheyeda ha'adam, except that a person should know the yode lelokav and acknowledge, show deference to his God, shebirao, that He created him. V'chavonos romamos hakol betfilos, and the purpose of lifting a voice in prayer. V'chavonos bate knesios, and the purpose of shuls. U'zichus tfilos harabim, and the merit of the prayer of the many. Zehu is the following. Sheyiyeh l'bnei adam mokom yiskabtsu v'yodu l'kel shbarama v'yimtziyam v'yifarsamuze. That people should have a place where they gather together and acknowledge God, know Him, and that He brought them into being, and they should publicize this. V'yomru l'fanav b'riosecha anachnu. They should say in front of Him, we are your creations. That's the purpose of the whole deal.
Is that chesed?
So it's a chesed to us that we can merit the pleasure of that. In other words, it has to be chesed. It still has to be chesed, because why? Because he doesn't have a weakened ego, and he needs to create people so that they pump him up.
Exactly.
Right? He's missing nothing. So it has to, axiomatically, it has to be chesed. And yet, what are we doing here? Our whole purpose is to acknowledge Hashem. That's the whole purpose. Now, what's the main vehicle for that? Even before you get to mitzvos, the main vehicle for that is Yisrael, the Jewish people. It could have been an Adam and Chava. Could have happened. It didn't. Then all the generations, the mission says in Pirkei Avos, were bad all the way through till Noach, and then all the way through till Avraham Avinu. And Yisrael was chosen to emerge to be the ones who gather into places like this. Do you know how awesome you are? Seriously, this is not even a joke. Do you know how fantastic you are? This is unbelievable. That this many people, at this moment in history, this far away from Jerusalem, are doing this right now. It's magic. It's mamish unbelievable. It is. You should feel so good. You should feel so good about it. But after all, that's why we were created. Not only we were created, just me and you. That's why there was the whole creation ever. And Yisrael is the vehicle for that. So now, Yisrael is the vehicle for that? That's what we say when we say that you're the creator, and you remember, and you created everything out of your kindness, and you remember the kindnesses of the forefathers to do what? Umevi goel ivnei v'nehem, to bring a redeemer for their children, children's children. And what does that mean? That means that the ultimate purpose of the whole thing, and what our purpose is to bring about the ultimate knowledge of God. The ultimate knowledge of God can only come through the redemption, when all the confusion is solved. And everybody sees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master of the whole world, which was Avram's purpose. And this whole bracha is Avram. This whole bracha is Elokei Avram. And what's the vehicle? Yisrael, me and you. Yisrael, that last piece of creation that's equal to the Shabbos of the first 7 days. Then you have this period, these chapters unfolding of what the pieces are. You have Yisrael emerging like it is the man itself. The man was supposed to do it, but man didn't do it. So Yisrael emerges. And for what purpose? To bring about knowledge of God, which will only happen through Geula, through redemption. And these last three words in this paragraph, Leman Shemo Be'ahava, for the purpose of His name, with love. And here's what Leman Shemo means. Leman Shemo means that even if we fail, there will be no failure. Meaning, the Talmud says, quotes a verse in Isaiah. In the book of Yeshaya it says, Be'ita achishena. In its time, I will hasten it. Talking about the Mashiach. Talmud's bothered us. If it's in its time, then you're not hastening it. If you're hastening it, then it's not in its time. To which the Talmud responds, Zochu achishena. If they merit, then I'll hasten it. Lo zochu, even if they don't merit, be'ita. I'll bring it at the end of time no matter what. Ge'ula is inevitable. This is what I once heard from Rabbi Mathisyahu Solomon in the name of Rabbi Elia Lopian, that when we say the words in last week's bracha that we said, v'sechazena einenu v'shuv chalitzion, may our eyes see in your return to Zion berachamim, in mercy, that the redemption is not necessarily going to happen in mercy. What's the mercy? V'sechazena einenu, that our eyes see it. We don't necessarily have to be there, me and you. When we daven v'sechazena einenu, that our eyes should see it. That's berachamim. So Leman Shemo means he's going to do it for his own name, even if we don't bring it, even if we don't hasten it. But even then it will be Ba'ava. Even then it won't be like, you guys failed, but I'm doing it anyway. It'll be with love. Well, all of history is here. The beginning of creation, till you get to the role of Avram and his what he created, and then Yisrael. And that God is a kindness doer, so that for that's all we're doing here is we're tapping into that kindness. We're praising Him for that. We're identifying Him as the Creator, and we're taking that purpose of creation all the way through history to say we are Your creations, like the Ramban said, all the way till the ultimate acknowledgement of that, which we're really not davening for here, as much as acknowledging that it's going to be, and we're saying not in my merit. And by the way, the Talmud says anyone who ever asked Hashem for something in his own merit. Even when Hashem gives it, he tells you it's in somebody else's merit. And when you daven for it in the merit of somebody else, then when the Rebbe gives it, he tells you it's in your merit. So you're saying, Avos, the forefathers, look what they did. In a world, you know that movie guy voice, in a world, right? In a world where there's only, all there is idol worship. Emerges this mishpacha. It's unbelievable. And then Yisrael emerges from Egypt. And all for a purpose of Briyosecha Anachnu. We are your creations, and we ask, and we're not asking really, but we're acknowledging that the day will come of all the knowledge, and that's the purpose of creation, and that's who you are. And we're the central players. Of course, see, once you, if you get this whole thing into this, when you say this bracha, if you think about this last 45 minutes, right? So it'll take you a long time. Which is a good thing, right? But you, like, even forget that you exist. Like, If it was just on my zechusim, what would I say? How could I approach Hashem? But it's in the zechusim of the forefathers, and for this whole divine plan from the beginning of history till the end, till the final redemption. And it ends with the words, Melech Ozer Umoshia Umagen, God who is the one who helps us, who's the one who protects us and saves us. This is a reference to the fact that He's a creator, He's a redeemer, and in the meantime, He's a protector. That we're the ones carrying this through history. And then again, we essentially conclude the bracha with this humble phrase of it's not me, but Magen Avram. You're the one who's been the protector of the Abrahamic reality of the establishment of the monotheistic God from the beginning of history till now.
Maybe we should pause after the word, the first word, Baruch. It's just like he was saying, I was saying, the whole system, the whole idea of the flow from Hashem down through, you know, the whole water analogy. If you say Baruch, you remember all of that, and then it's Atah Hashem Elokeinu.
Yeah, but I agree. But you could say instead Baruch of saying Atah.
Well, but to say, like you said to begin with, what does it mean? How can you bless Hashem? He's the source. It's the other way around. So it might be a little odd, but you know, I'm just a thought.
I think you're right, but I think the pause has different evocative.
Exactly.
It has different evocative meanings to different people. So it could be that the pause is before Atah, or it could be that it's after Atah, and even after Hashem. But it's the same idea still. That's why, by the way, that's why it takes some people a long time to daven Shemoneh Esrei. Okay? So I'm going to end with a little story, which is that I was in a shul once, and the rabbi was davening a long Shemoneh Esrei. And there was a visitor there who wasn't really a regular visitor, but he came to the shul frequently, and he said, as the rabbi was taking, in his opinion, too long of a time to daven Shemoneh Esrei, okay, he said to somebody else, "New, what's going on? Why does it take such a long time?" So the man who he said it to was himself actually a visitor. And he said, and the visitor responded to this other man who was somewhat of a visitor, and he said, "He's davening for all the needs of all the people. Should I go over to him and tell him to leave you out?" That's why it takes a long time to die. Okay, have a wonderful night.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.